Exodus chapter 14. I want to bring a message to you on the thought, what to do when there is no escape. What to do. How many of you have ever been where you thought, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like all hope is gone and boy, what am I going to do now? How many of you have ever been there? I want to talk to you about that today. Tonight I want to bring a message. Hey, did I tell you? Did I tell you that they're building a third temple? Did I tell you that? No, seriously. Did I know the Jewish people are going to build that? They're preparing. They're actually doing the garments for the priest, and they've already dedicated the cornerstone. Did I tell you that they're actually going to? They're in the process of beginning to prepare to build the third temple. That's exciting, isn't it? I've been telling you that though, haven't I? Since I found out a couple weeks ago, I've been telling people. I'm going to bring a message tonight, Brother Mark. Not on the third temple, but that is a sign that Jesus is coming back. Brother Billy, it's important that we do know that Christ is coming back. And I've really been excited about Israel lately. It seems like everything I want to talk about is Israel, because that was the apple of God's eye. By the way, I talked to Brother David Siegel yesterday. He said, tell the church I love him and I miss him. He'll be back with us next Sunday. Make sure when he comes back next Sunday, make sure you let him know you missed him. And even if you have to lie, tell him you missed him, okay? I love David. You know, most people know David's these last week has been all Jewish holidays. And he's been going with the Jewish people. And, but David Siegel, yeah, Jewish boy. Yes. And he's been going with the Jewish people. He said, preacher, once this holiday's over, I'm going to be back, though. And so, but he said, tell everyone I miss them. I said, we miss you too, David. I said, it's been real quiet since you've been gone. You know, I thank God that he sent us Brother David. And he's precious. And anyways, talking about tonight's service, I'm going to bring a message, Brother Carl. The benefits of knowing Christ is coming again. There are some benefits about knowing that Christ is coming back. And I'm going to share with you some benefits that you are blessed. The world don't understand what's going on. We do. Because we got the Bible. And we got the truth of the word. And we know exactly what's happening. And but the world doesn't know Christ. They're terrified. And there are some benefits. Of course, there's benefits of going up to, you know, being taken up with Christ. But just the preparation before he comes, there's benefits of knowing that he's coming. And I wrote down, I think, four or five things, some benefits about knowing. I love preaching on the second coming. I do. And so, actually, that's not the second coming. The second coming is actually the revelation when he comes back to the earth. This is just a rapture. In the clouds, but anyways, tonight I'll be preaching at 6 o'clock on the benefits of knowing Christ is coming. And then, Brother Mark, are we having choir for the cantata today? Are we okay? So we're going to prepare, and I think we're going to start a brand new cantata. I think okay. Alrighty, let's look at our Bibles now today in the book of Exodus. Chapter 14. I'm gonna give you a familiar passage of scripture when Moses and the people of Israel was pushed right back to the Red Sea and they had nowhere to go. Remember how Pharaoh's army was coming after them and they didn't look like they had no hope and nowhere to escape and nowhere to run, and at least it wasn't apparent that there was a place any hope to escape. And then God miraculously opens up the Red Sea. And you know, so we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to give you about four or five points about those different groups of people, because I think it can relate to us in some of our life, our everyday life. Amen? Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Glad you're here today. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh, how many have got Exodus 14, verse 10? Boy, ladies, you did a good job. That was a blessing. That song was a real blessing. And when Pharaoh drew, you got verse 10 with me? Exodus 14? And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it's been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should be die in the wilderness. And Moses said in verse 13 unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. You know, a lot of times that's what we need to do. Stop fearing. I know there's a lot of fearful. I was talking to Brother Joe Tutek and Toledo. They're coming up next week. But they'll be with us next Sunday, matter of fact. It's coming up Friday, him and Cindy, from Toledo, Ohio. But, you know, there are some fearful things we're seeing. But you know what? We don't have to fear. The Lord's on the throne. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians have ye seen today. Ye shall see them again, no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the precious word of God and the truth of it. Thank you for giving us a pure, preserved Bible. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust every word of it and believe every word. We thank you that, Father, we can come and hear your word and read it. We pray now, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to our hearts. Father, help me. I believe you put this in my heart. Lord, please help me to be a blessing to the people. They came. Lord, they came to hear something from heaven. We're living in days there are a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on people. And I pray, dear God, that you would help me be an encouragement to them today. Holy Spirit, minister to each one of their hearts. And Lord, thank you for all the birthdays. And I pray you'll bless each one on their birthdays. And thank you for Brother Marty and Lori on their 29th anniversary, Lord. Lord, it's so special. And I just pray that you'll bless them on their anniversary, Lord. And Lord, thank you for Dr. Roy Thompson, the way he's touched even people in our church, Lord. He's touched many people in our church. He's already touched their lives. And thank you for the new baby, Father. Lord, I thank you for a little Justice and Justin, Lord. I pray that you'll bless him. And Lord, heal up Angela and watch over her. And Lord, now Lord, speak to her and then comfort the hearts of those that lost loved ones now. Lord, be with those that lost loved ones. I pray about for Jimmy Samaldow and Emmy, Lord, Dar, please touch them. And Father, I even prayed earlier today. I thank you for Brother Mel. I would to God you'd reach down and touch his knees and his legs. He's got a lot of pain in those legs. Lord, it hurts my heart to see him suffer. And he loves you beyond measure. I'd like to ask in the name of Jesus that you'd touch him and take that pain from his legs. Heal him up, I pray, and bless all the people here today, we ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, what to do when there's no escape. What to do when there's no escape. You know, many times we in our lives, we get to places where we think there's no escape. At least that's how we feel, amen? I didn't read the whole story here. I thought about going all the way to verse 31, but then the Lord said, stop. You know the story. Israel is being pursued by Pharaoh and all his army. He runs them right up to the banks of the Red Sea. And Brother Rick, there's nowhere for them to go. And man, they're coming after him. And all of a sudden, men are saying, we're going to die. You should, Moses, you dirty rat, Moses, you should have left us alone. Why did we just stay there? Why'd I do this? And that's kind of like what we do when we get in trouble. God, It's all preacher's fault. He shouldn't have told me. Lord, it's all Brother Mark's fault. Lord, it's all Pastor Dave's fault. Lord, it's all them deacons of that church. They just, you know, But that's how we are, aren't we? Can anyone say amen? Of course, you know, God said, Moses, tell the people to stand still and see the salvation. He puts his rod. God, you've seen it on TV. By the way, don't believe Hollywood. They went across on dry ground. And God opened up that Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. Of course, then after they got across, Pharaoh was already pursuing him. He was in the middle, and God said, turn around, Moses. I'm gonna drop the water back down. And all Pharaoh and all his army were drowned, and the good guys won. Amen? Yeah. I like it when the good guys win. Amen? I want to relate to you about this story today. Hopefully we can use it in our everyday life for some truths in it. But let's think about Israel for just a few minutes. They're making, after 400 years of bondage, Andy, they were in bondage for 400 years, over 400 years in Egypt. And God brings those plagues down on Egypt. And finally Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, Get out of here. You take your people. Let your people go. Get out of here. Get out of my sight. We're going to all die if you guys stay here. Man, the Egyptians were glad to get rid of Israel at that very moment. Just in that moment. And if you'll notice in Exodus chapter 12, look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. God said, tell the people to take all they want. So they took all the gold and silver and jewels. Look at verse 35 and 36 in Exodus chapter 12. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. I mean, they took all their shoes, all their clothing, all the good stuff. Are you with me? Boy, you girls would love that, wouldn't you? All them, and all them pretty robes and all their jewelry. Hello. Amen? And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, man, they walked out and they were loaded with gold and silver and jewels and raiments. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, Walmart's never had a sale like that. Are you with me? Or pennies or any of the other ones. And I noted this. You could say that day, at that time, Brother Brian, at this time, they were happy campers. Yeah. You ever notice the complexion of Christians? Well, boy, when things are going good, we're happy. Matter of fact, I read to you earlier, I read to you a passage where they're grumbling at Moses. It's all your fault. But boy, as soon as they got through the Red Sea, when you get to the next chapter, chapter 15, you know what they did? They sang the song of Moses. Yeah. Pastor Dave, you don't understand. In the ministry, people either love you or they hate you. It all depends how things are going at the time. Are you with me? Now stay with me. But, of course, all good things have to end. And Pharaoh got angry and he said, no, they're not going to get away with this. And he comes after them with their armies. And he's pursuing them. And he had it with all his armies. And he's got them right against, he's got the people of Israel backed against the Red Sea, and there's nowhere for them to go, and it looks like there's no escape, and it looks like there's no apparent way to escape. No hope. And you know what? I want you to notice something. They're backed up there, and he's not just having a couple people with him. I mean, he just can't put a couple people underneath a rock, say hi there till they ride by. He had over 2 million people. I want you to see something. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and look at verse 37 and 38. Look at verse 37 in Exodus 12. About 600,000 on foot. How many see that in verse 37? Six were men besides the children and a mixed multitude. In other words, there were 600,000 men, footmen. Then you got the children and their wives and all the servants. Listen, when Moses left Egypt, he had over 2 million people. That's an exodus. Yeah. Do you realize how many Happy Meals they'd have to stop at McDonald's and order to feed that many people? I mean, Dee Cottrell's pulling her hair out now in Garrettsville. Can you imagine Moses pulling up and saying, hey, I got 2 million people here. How fast can you make some Big Macs and quarter pounders and double cheeseburgers and make some double fries and, you know, and don't forget the milkshakes. Amen. How many are still with me? Dee's going, I'm coming, Lord. What I want you to see is this. So we pick up in verse, so he's got a lot of people here. How many think he's got a lot of people? And you got two million people at the Red Sea. And he's at the back. He's back right up to the banks of the Red Sea, and nowhere to go. And the army of Pharaoh is pursuing after him with vengeance. They were going to kill them all. All they had on their mind was slaughter. And so I noted. Look at verse 10 of chapter 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they, see, remember when they were taking all the jewels and everything, and they were, whistle while you work. Oh, Moses, we love you, and Aaron. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And boy, they're just happy, but boy, all of a sudden, uh-oh, the bad guys are coming. Are you with me? Now, the whole complexion's changed. What a difference a day makes. You know, one day in our lives, everything can be going real well. And maybe the next hour, or even the next minute, it seems like the whole world falls. How many know what preacher's talking about? Look up here. I want you to get this truth. We need to be prepared, no matter what comes to us in life. We need to prepare in the good times and the bad times. But we need to know something, that God is still on the throne. Amen? And so we see that they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Isn't it sad we got to be in trouble till we cry out to God? Why don't we cry out to God when we're in the good times? And we don't need you now, God. Kind of like that guy that fell out the haystack, and he was on the barn. He fell out the window. He was, Lord, help me! And right then, his strap on his blue jeans caught a nail and caught him. He said, never mind, Lord, I can get it myself now. That's kind of like we are, right? Hello? How many are still with the preacher? But it looked pretty bleak to them that day. It looked almost hopeless. Moses standing on the banks with 2 million people, nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. And these people were not happy. Look at verse 11. Well, they were happy back in chapter 12 when they were taking all the goods. But now, look at this. They don't care about those goods now. And they said unto Moses, because thou were no grace in Egypt, thou wast taking us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of it. It's all your fault, Moses. You dirty, rotten dog. Are you still with me? I did that for a reason. I noted this, Brother Coolidge. The good days were over. Remember that they were happy campers back in Egypt when they were taking the loot and everything was going good. And they were getting free McDonald's and Burger Kings and everything else, free pizzas. Oh, I love pizza. That's the nicest stuff. But now, this wasn't a good time, Brother Mark. Now it's a threatening time. Now this threatening time is not a fun time. And I noted this. When threatening times come, it was time for them to have confidence in God, God's word, and God's man. Brother Jack, it's not hard for people to be happy with God, God's word, and God's man when everything's going good. But you let things go bad. You let things sour a little bit. You let things drop a little bit, and the scenery changes a little bit. Then that confidence in God's not there. then that confidence in God's word's not there. Then that confidence in God's man's not there. I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to have, no matter if it's raining or sunshine outside, we ought to have, and in our life, we ought to have confidence in God, God's word, and God's man. In good days and in bad days, amen? Let's think about these groups that were at the Red Sea with Moses, standing there as the armies approached. Now, as you study there, when you study this scripture, there's nowhere for them to run. And it appears like there's no apparent escape. I'd say they're in bad shape. But you know, Christians, we need to remember something. They need to remember something. 1 Corinthians 10:13, when you're at a point in your life where you think there's nowhere to run and no apparent escape, you need to remember God. Are you with me? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, stay in Exodus, but I want to quote you 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, God is faithful. Aren't you glad he's faithful to us? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's like, preacher, I can't bear it no more. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get to a place you can't bear it, God's going to make a way for you to escape. Listen, when we don't know what to do and where to escape, we need to remember something. But God. But God can make a way. You know, I don't care if it looks like it's hopeless. God can make a way. I want to share with you the next 20 minutes here. I want to share with you about four or five groups of people that were on this shore with Moses, and give you some thoughts and try to relate it to our daily life. Number one, there was a group of people that wanted to just jump into the sea. I'm sure there was some just, let's just jump into the sea, Moses. That wasn't going to solve the problem. Maybe they thought they could stand underneath the water long enough until they left. Put a little straw. It's hard to hide 2 million people, though, with straws. Matter of fact, I don't think McDonald's had that many that day in on the shelves. But they just jumped. I'm sure they said, let's just jump in the water. Moses said in verse 13, stand still. Don't jump anywhere. Don't do anything. Verse 13, stand still. You know, there's always some people when trouble comes, they want to just jump somewhere. They don't care what, they don't know why they're jumping, they don't know where they're going to jump, and they don't know what's going to happen when they do jump. They just want to jump. Are you still with me? They don't think things out. They don't pray things out. They overreact. By the way, when we get in bad trouble, do we jump sometimes and we shouldn't jump? Do we react like we shouldn't react? Do we overreact? Do we forget to pray? They jump overboard. They jump to conclusions before waiting and thinking things through. When you get in that place where you think there's nowhere to turn to, don't do anything. Stand still. If you got some major problems, don't make a problem worse. Stand still. Let God speak to you. Let God show you what you need to do. Amen? Like Peter, he was a great example about a guy just jumping. Lord, I'll never deny you. A few hours later, he's dying three times. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. They come and get Christ. They take him away. He grabs a sword, cuts the ear off that Malchus. Jesus said, put up your sword, Peter. I mean, he was an overreactor. He was quick to jump. I do like Peter, though. I like that rough and tough type guy, you know. That guy was macho. Amen? Hey, kids, he was kind of like the Rambo of the disciples. I don't know where I'm getting all this stuff. It's not on the paper. Look up here. When you get to a place, I'm talking about what to do when you have nowhere to turn. A lot of times it's better to just to do nothing. Stand still. Don't react until you know what to react to and how to react. I'm going to quote you a scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That was Philippians 4:8. Listen, God puts us through trials to test our faith. God puts us through trials to test our faith. Just stand still. If you're going through some trials right now, don't panic. Stand still. Don't jump in the water. Don't jump off the boat. Just stand still and think on these things. Can anyone say amen? Before doing anything, think what God would want you to do. And by the way, he would never have you do anything contrary to the word of God. Don't jump to conclusions before knowing what God wants you to do. So before, number one, when you get to a place where you don't know, where you think there's no escape, stand still. Number two, I believe there was a group that wanted to return to Egypt. It says in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, we may serve the Egyptians? Moses, we ought to just go, we should have stayed in Egypt. We should have went back. I wish we could go back there now, Moses. It's all your fault, you dirty rat. You know what I get out of that truth? Moses said in verse 13, though, when they said, we wish we'd be back in Egypt, if you'll notice, Moses said, you'll never see them again. Now, there's a great truth there, Brother Mike. He said, you'll never see them again. They brought about going back to the world. They were in bondage for 400 years, and now they want to go back to the old place where they were in bondage to. We are never, as God's children, we are never to long for it or go back to the old life. That old life is a type of Egypt. I got a question here. Why is it when the going's good, we love God, we love the preacher, and we love the church? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Boy, we'll sing them songs. We'll sing them songs and we'll get all excited. But boy, that thing, something goes wrong, you let a dark cloud come in. Oh, how I hate Jesus. Oh, how I hate Bethel. Oh, I can't stand Dr. Skyver. Because he told me so. Now listen to me. We want to, and then what happens? Turn those phones off. You owe me a pizza. Any cell phone go off, you guys owe me a pizza. I like pepperoni and sausage on mine. Look up here now. By the way, Jordan, you guys, by the way, they've only been married about a month, those kids. We have a thing here. If your cell phone goes off, if I'm preaching or Dr. Bell, whoever's preaching at the time, you owe us a pizza. Now, I like meat lovers, okay? And I like extra cheese on mine. I don't know, Dr. Bell will tell what he wants. But so if your phone goes off, you owe me a pizza. Now, Rosie, she's never going to, the day she gives me the outlines, she wants thin crust, okay? Let me get back here now. You know, let a few things go back in our life and we forget God. Why is it we can love God when the going's good, but when the going gets bad, we don't love God no more? Isn't he the same God? Is he the same God in the valley as he is in the mountaintop? And what's the first thing we want to do? Brian, what's the first thing people want to do when they get mad at God? They want to quit. You're right. And they want to go back to the old world. That's just like them, Bobby. We're no different. I mean, we're talking 4,000. We're going way back here. And people aren't changed. We want to go, man, I'm sick of this religious bit. I ain't having this church. I want to go back to where I came from. Why do we always want to go back to the old bad habits? The old bad places? The old bad music? The old bad music? The old bad alcohol and drugs? Hello? Listen to me. I'm going to read this to you. I wrote this. I really like this. You need to write this down. I think it's really divine. No, listen to me, though. I really like this, Carl, and God gave it to me. Talking about going back to the old world when we get mad. Get this. We try to go back to find refuge from the places we were rescued from. We go back to find refuge from the places we were rescued from. I mean, we go back to those bars, that's where we were rescued from. We go back to those honky-tonks, that's where we were rescued from. We go back to those streets, that's where we were rescued from. We go back to the mire, that's where we were rescued from. And we think that's a refuge? The Bible says God is our refuge. A very present help in time of trouble. Psalms 46:1. Amen? And so when you're backed up against all odds, let God make a way of escape. Don't go back to Egypt. Moses said, man, not only are you not going to go back to Egypt, you're not going to see him no more. You know what? When we get saved, we ought to say, we're never going to see it no more. Amen. Kenny, we ought to say, we ain't never going to be back there no more. Rick, you ought to say in your heart, man, you ruined my life for enough of my years. You ain't never going to see, I'm never going to see you no more. Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Number three. Isn't this good stuff? I like it. There was a group. Then there's a third group. They wanted to wage war. Now, I don't say here, but I bet you Caleb and Joshua pulled out their swords and said, "Let's get them, Moses. I'll slice them as they come. I'll drop them right when they come in their tracks." And I'm gonna tell you right now, Joshua and Caleb were some bad sticks. They liked to rumble. Freddie. Joshua didn't care about mixing it with people. I think he enjoyed it. He was a warrior, man. Are you with me? But look what Moses said to him. Look what Moses said to those that won this battle, them wage war. Moses said in verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you. Put your swords down. Get calmed down, pal. God don't need you to fight his battles." Sometimes we forget the battle's the Lord's, not ours. God doesn't need us to fight his battle. God doesn't need us to take revenge for him. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay." You know, a lot of times, Steve, we want to say, "I'm going to get him back for God." You don't have to get him back for God. God can take care of anything himself. Look up here. He don't need us. We need him. Oh, we're so stupid, aren't we? Listen, we need to learn to go on. We need to learn not to go on our might, but we need to learn to go on God's might. Listen, we will see many more victories and many more miracles in our life if we'll go in God's might and not ours. Amen. And then number four, there no doubt was a group that wanted to we read about them, and They wanted this. They were crying and murmuring. They were crying. They were crying and murmuring. Look at Moses said to him in verse 14. Ye shall hold your peace. You know what that means in Italian? A shut of your mouth. A shut of your mouth. Hold your peace. Is that good? I'm really keyed into you, ain't I? Get to the ravioli now. Let's get to the ravioli part. They were crying. Listen, Moses said, you shall hold your peace. Stop your crying. Stop your complaining. Stop your murmuring. Boy, Christians, we like to murmur. We like to whine. Little whiners. Whiners. We have, God all named us Christian Whinette. Did you ever notice something, though? Murmuring, whining, crying, these things won't change matters. They just make matters worse. Christians, let me give you a thought here. Stop your fussing, stop your feuding, and stop your fretting. Stop your fussing, stop your feuding, stop your fretting. So from Psalms 37. Let God show you the escape. Instead of I love Kenny Cochran's he's a good mechanic. Kenny's been working on my vans and stuff, and Mike comes, and Rick come over, and I get a kick out of those. Boy, those guys are like two little kids. They're just giving each other, you know. Kenny will get it, Mike, and Mike will get it, Rick will get it. He'll say, did you do that? And boy, they'll just be back and forth. And I'll just sit there laughing my head off, just splitting the gut, man. Just like a bunch of little kids. You ever watch little kids? And God looks down and says, you bunch of little kids, quit your fussing, quit your feuding. Look up, I'm trying to give you truth. When you're at a place in your life where you think there's no escape, When you don't have the answer, when you need an answer, and when you're in trouble, are you hearing the man of God right now? The time for fussing, the time for feuding, the time for crying and murmuring, that's not the time, because if you keep doing that, God can't speak to you. See, what we got to have that right attitude. Lord, speak. Thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. See, because when we're in a time of, when we're in a place where we don't think there's a place of escape, or it's very hopeless, that's not time for murmuring. That's not time for crying. That's not time for complaining. That's not going to help the situation. Are you with me? No, those people need to learn something. He said, hold your peace. Shut your mouth. Shut up and listen. Let me speak. And that's say, God, I'm in a real fix. And no doubt it's my fault I'm in this fix, dear God. By the way, can I say this? And I'm almost done. A lot of times we blame God. Most of our problems, well, not all of our problems, it's not God's. It's our fault. Like, God, I don't know why you got me where I couldn't pay my debts. Well, I didn't know it was God charging all the stuff at Walmart. I didn't know it was God charging the cars. I mean, do you ever know something? We live above our means. We do things we shouldn't be doing. We go out. God, why did you tear my stomach up? Well, I don't know. Why did you drink all that stuff last night? Or God, what's the problem with me? I'm so, well, maybe you ate too many steaks last night, or maybe you ate too much food before you went to bed last night. Hello? Amen. How many are still with me? God, why is my wife always mad at me? Maybe it's because you don't ever treat her right? Freddie's got a shirt. I love that shirt that Freddie's got. I'm going to try to pull it up. Why is there having all trouble in public schools? Mainly because they won't let God in? They say, how could God let all these people get killed at these schools? Maybe because they kicked God out? Look up here. Don't blame God for you. Listen, we bring on our own troubles. We're asking God to bail us out all the time. Hello? So quit your mumbling, quit your griping, quit your whining, quit your fussing, puting, and fretting. I don't know what I'm going to do. Stop. Stop and just let God speak to you. I'm going to take, look up here. You got to get this truth from the old man tonight, this morning. We're living in trying days. We are living in trying days. By the way, I put it in the bulletin. I wanted to bring it out. A lot of people are even getting their electric shut off. One man in our church found a place. I put it in the bulletin. You can call to get your electric paid for. They paid his. It's in the bulletin if you're having trouble with your electrical, paying your bills and stuff. But folks, look up here. We dig a ditch. We dig it, and we wonder, God, how did I get down here? Why is my liver ruined, God? Maybe because you're an alcoholic? Why is my brain spaced out? Maybe because you're drugging? Don't blame God for what's going on. What we need to do is stop and quit fussing, crying, and whining and say, God, I'm in a real trouble here. Could you help me? Could you show me a way of escape? And Lord, I'm just going to wait for you to show me. Amen? And then lastly, number 5. There was a group, I believe there was a group of people. There was nothing like those other 4 groups I just gave you. They were just waiting there for the command from God's headquarters, for the direction to take. They were just waiting for God to tell the man of God from the word of God what they were supposed to do. And look at verse 15. Moses said to them in verse 15. He said, go forward. He opened that Red Sea, Brian. He said, go. After God opened, he said, go forward. You know, God don't ever want us to go backwards. That's why when you got the former of God, you ever notice everything is for the front of the person? God never put no armor in the back because he never wants us to retreat. He always wants us to go forward. Are you with me? God wants us to go forward. He wants you to go forward in your life. You know what? You can go forward if you'll trust him and have put confidence in him and wait on him. I know this and I'll be done. Even in the worst times, if we will patiently wait and listen for the command from headquarters, are you with me? From the chief commander-in-chief, Jesus. Our commander-in-chief, Jesus, are you with me? He will see us through all things in life. And I noted this, Pastor Dave alluded to this in Sunday school a little bit. Not only do we see his things in all in this life, but he'll see us through all things in the death, including death, when we depart from this life. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? Today you might be facing some real problems. You might be facing some insurmountable problems today or tomorrow or next month. You might be facing some insurmountable problems. And it may appear to you that there's no way of escape. And it may appear to you in these coming days, or even you might be going through something right now, that there's no hope for you right now. Can I just say to you, stop right where you're at and see the salvation of God. Let God be your salvation. Let God be your Savior. Let God take you through those times in life when you're backed up against the wall and there's no way to escape. Let God make a way for you to escape. By the way, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus made that way for you. He died on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. He arose that third day. He's in heaven. He's coming back. The Bible says if you want to go to heaven, you must receive him as your Savior. You don't get to heaven by being a Christian, by being a church member or being baptized. You get to heaven by receiving Christ in your heart. Jesus, come out, be my Savior. You must be born again. It's not being a good person. You must be born again. Let God, you want to see the salvation of God? You let Christ come in your heart and be your Savior. He'll show you, he'll sell you more than salvation. He'll sell you all kinds of things. He said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. I pray, dear Father, in my heart, that these people, even though they're facing some insurmountable problems, and Lord, there might be some people here today that might be like the people of Israel. They might be at a place where they think there's no escape. They think they might look like they're in a hopeless place where there's no way to get out. And there's no hope. But I pray today you'll be their hope. I pray today you'll be their mighty God. I pray today that they'll put their confidence and trust in you. And that they'll seek you. And that you'll give them direction and the course that they need to take in their life. And that you would open up just like you did for Moses and the people of Israel. That you'd part the waters. That you would part the waters in their life. That they would see things open up in their life that only God could do for them. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I really am. I'm in a place in my life right now. I'll be honest with you. It looks almost hopeless. I'm in a place where it seems like our backs are against the wall. And preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't see no escape. Would you pray for me? You'd say that. Yes. Yes. Yes, I see it. Yes, sir. Yes, I've seen that. God bless you. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm at a point in my life where I'm like those people of Israel. It's like we're just at no escape. I'm backed right against the wall. Maybe you're there and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, I don't want to. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. I see a hand way back there. God bless you. You can put it down. Thank you. Pastor, I want to know when I die, I go to heaven. You die, you either go to heaven or hell. There's only two places. If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're dying, you're not saved, you go to hell. Now, got nothing to do with church, got nothing to do with religion. It's all about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. It got nothing to do with being a Baptist, got nothing to do with being a Catholic, nothing to do with Lutheran, Methodist. It got nothing to do with religion. Jesus said to a priest, Nicodemus, you must marvel not that I say to you, ye must be born again. You got to be born again. How do you get born again? You realize you're a lost sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. Realize the only way you get to heaven is through Jesus. And realize he died just to save your soul from hell. And get on your knees and say, dear Jesus, I believe you died for me. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul, Jesus. You ask him, he'll save you. That's how you get to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could see the salvation of God today. Is it that easy? It's that easy. That's why people trip over it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Bible. I pray you'll bless our people, encourage them. Lord, some are going through right now. They're going through some real hard times. Some are no doubt are going okay right now. But Lord, maybe tomorrow or the next day or a month from now, they might be facing the same thing that Israel did against that Red Sea. They're going to be in a place where they don't look like there's no way to escape. I pray at that time in their life that when they have the place in their life where there's no way to escape, I pray that they'll remember this about Moses and the people of Israel, and I pray that they'll turn to you. Lord, there was four or five, though, that raised their hand and said, right now, Father, they need you to open up the Red Sea in their life. I pray you'll do that for them. Please, come down and be their mighty God. Be their Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees and provides. And Lord, I know I saw one hand. There could have been more, but I know I saw one. I pray for everyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, even if they didn't raise their hand. I pray, dear God, they'll see the importance of being born again, that they know Christ as Savior, so when they die, or when you come back in the clouds for us in the rapture, they won't be left behind. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page on, Brother Mark? 401. You come right now.